paid 260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man. Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
Yo, we are back once again, the Kickback Pod, back better than ever. I'm with my man Fobs as usual. How are you doing, my man? Because we're getting into already June 1st now, summertime, man. Things are looking up, things are looking good here in Berlin. Things are hot, things are definitely heating up. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm sitting here in my apartment and I have the electrical blinds shut all the way because the sun is pounding into the apartment and it's actually pretty warm, which is a good thing. I'm not complaining. It's been pretty terrible weather in Berlin for the last week or so. It's looking up, like you said. I am flying to Amsterdam on the weekend, which I'm super excited for. But how are you doing, man?
Man's trying to flex the electric blinds. I see what you're doing there. I'm doing good, man. I did a bit of traveling myself last week. I was in Lisbon and also Madrid. It was pretty cool. The trip I was with some friends of mine from Toronto. The trip unfortunately got cut short though. My friends had a family emergency, but I did manage to get a taste of both of those cities, Lisbon and Madrid. Never been there before. And I mean, of course, like I love the city, especially Lisbon. Damn, I really, really love that place. I think that's going to be like my winter getaway. Once, you know, yeah. the super shitty months happen in Berlin, like November to February, when the weather turns super shit. I might just like go work from Lisbon for a bit. It's such a beautiful city, man. Also like in Madrid, I went to a bunch of the sneaker stores, streetwear stores. Quite nice, man. They got Sebas Descalzo over there. They have Foot District. I checked out the Stussy store. Of course, I love any city that has a Stussy store. which was pretty cool. I had a good time, but I pretty much exhausted all of my traveling. Like I won't be traveling now for a while, at least a couple more months. So but looking forward to summertime in Berlin, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you been keeping up with NBA though lately?
So I haven't watched any games live because they're all just way too late. You know, Fobs has to go to bed at 10 p.m. every night and I think the games start at like 1 a.m. here. But I've been watching highlights every morning. That's kind of like my morning routine. I get up, go for a little walk. Then I sit down at my computer just before work starts, play a little Wordle, you know, get the brain going, get the brain pumping. And then I watch NBA highlights. And I have to say, without having watched a full game, it's been a very, very, very entertaining playoffs.
It's been an amazing playoffs, actually. Very unexpected playoffs. I would say like biggest surprise of the playoffs for me was Luka Doncic eliminating the Suns. I don't think anyone saw that coming, especially that game 7 where he basically the Mavericks basically manhandled the Suns in their home court, embarrassed the hell out of them. Chris Paul, he is a point fraud. I'm going to say that again.
Oh, wow. Shots fired.
Not the point guard, man. The point fraud. I mean, he's lost now 7 game 7s in a row. 7 game 7s in a row. So I don't know about point guard, man. More like point fraud to me. But anyways, man, I'm pretty excited about the finals. Like, even though a lot of people are saying, yo, Boston's got no chance against the Warriors, I disagree. I think they have one hell of a head coach, a super smart head coach. He's going to figure out some defensive scheme. He's going to try to, you know, box up, not box up. He's going to try to like block out Clay. He's going to try to maybe pull some crazy defenses on Steph. And somehow I could see Boston making a series of it. I think the series could even go 7.
No way. I agree with you that Boston is slightly underrated. The Warriors are definitely the favorites, don't get me wrong. But Boston has a squad, you know. They got the two Jays, they got a good coach, they've built a very, very strong team, a young, hungry team that has been deep in the playoffs before. It's their first finals appearance, so it will be new territory for them, and I think it'll be too new for them. And the Warriors, they just have too much firepower. They've got Steph. If he's not hot, they've got Klay. If he's not hot, they've got Poole, you know? It's literally the Poole Bros, the Splash Bros, whatever you want to call them. They're going to hit you from everywhere, and I think it'll be really hard for any team to keep up with them. I think I'm going to say it, Warriors in six.
Okay, no. I mean, that seems to be like the consensus prediction by most of the basketball experts, Warriors in six. Yeah, I mean, I can see that too. You forgot to mention they also got Draymond Green and also my boy out of Toronto, Andrew Wiggins, man. You know, I used to literally go to Andrew Wiggins' high school games back in the day. He grew up in my neighborhood. I once actually bumped into him at a McDonald's, and I literally went up to him like, bro, I've literally watched your games. I know who you are. And this was the year before he got drafted. I was like, bro, you're going to do big things in the NBA. I was kind of wrong about that in hindsight because he's been a bit of a bust. But Andrew Wiggins, man, shout out to Toronto's very own now in the NBA Finals.
He's making up for like lost time, I think. He had a couple of years where people were like, could be not a bust, but a disappointment. But he's had some strong seasons, especially when Klay and Steph were both out injured. He was pretty much not carrying the Warriors, but one of their focal points. And I think he's found his role on a stacked team. He's definitely not a number one championship caliber option, but
yeah, I know,
but definitely be a third option.
Yeah, but you know, when he got drafted, people were saying he's the next LeBron and all that. So like that,
yeah, they were calling him like Maple Jordan, right?
Exactly, man. Maple Jordan. He had a shoe deal. I even bought his Adidas shoes. I forgot what they were called, man. Air Wiggins or something. I don't know. But I had those shoes. But anyways, man. So let's move on. We've talked enough basketball. So there was a big event that occurred, I guess, in the sneaker world. And you guys might have heard about this. So Zade Kicks. That's been the storyline going on in the sneaker world. He scammed a bunch of people. And that topic kind of inspired our main discussion for today, which is how to be safe, basically, when buying sneakers, when selling sneakers, whether that be offline, whether that be online. We're just going to basically be giving you our tips. We've been, you know, both of us, me and Fobs, buying and selling sneakers online for years now. So just basically what we've learned along the way. I've been scammed before. You might have been scammed before too. So just kind of things to watch out for. We'll be kind of giving you guys our tips there. So I guess we're going to title this episode, How to Avoid Getting Scammed When Buying Shoes. Let's call it that.
I think it's going to be some very important life lessons, or not even life lessons, but just kind of talking from experience. Like you said, we've been buying and selling for a while. There have been some suspect or suspicious situations in the past, for sure. But before we get into that, and before you kind of run down what happened with Zade Kicks, let's talk about our pickups. I know you have a couple of really nice ones. So what'd you pick up this week?
And quickly, before we get into the pickups, the fan shout out of the week. I actually don't know his name. I just know his YouTube handle. But he's been commenting on a bunch of my videos that he's a big fan of the pod. So shout out to ITMFL2046. Sorry, man. That's all I got. I don't know. He doesn't have a name on YouTube. He just got this username and he's been commenting on a bunch of my videos. So shout out to you, man. If you want to drop your name in the YouTube comments next time, we can even shout you out even better, I guess, on future episodes. But shout out to you. Let's move on to latest pickups. Yeah, bunch of pickups in the last couple of weeks. So I'll start it off with the Travis Scott Air Trainer 1. So after not receiving any Travis sneakers for almost 8 or 9 months, the last sneaker I think that dropped was the 270s, I believe. And that was like last summer. So after a pretty long hiatus, we get some Travis Scott sneakers and we get four of them, actually, two trainers and two pairs of Air Max 1s. I was able to get the Air Trainer 1 in that brown or wheat colorway. That was probably the sneaker I wanted the most out of this pack. And I just went crazy on the raffles. I ended up winning 7 pairs of those Air Trainer ones. So that was pretty unexpected. And I've already like sold 3 or 4 of them. So I'm obviously going to sell the rest, but I am keeping one pair for myself because I actually really like the sneaker in person. Never really had a pair of Air Trainers before. What I really liked about the shoe was very, very comfortable on feet. And it's definitely like the perfect type of high performance type of shoe. You got the strap on there. So I tried, you know, tightening the strap just to see if it was just there for like as a gimmick or it actually had some functional purpose. And it does work quite well. Like once you use the strap, your feet feel really locked in. So I'm going to be using this as my new gym shoe going forward, you know, just to flex on everyone at the gym because they, you know, you just got to flex whenever you get the opportunity. So I'm going to be rocking these. I like these quite a lot. I believe you also won a raffle for the Air Trainers.
Yeah, so I got the Air Trainer 1 in the Gray Haze colorway. And anyone who knows me, anyone who's talked to me about sneakers before, listened to me on this podcast, knows that I am not Travis Scott's biggest fan. I am not the biggest fan of his reverse swoosh shenanigans. But I believe that the Travis Scott Nike Air Trainer 1 is his absolute best shoe to date, hands down, not even close. No shoe comes close to this one, in my opinion.
Wow.
And
I wish we had like sound effects or something on this pod, like a siren, like hot take alert.
I mean, that's maybe something we can build into the podcast going forward. But no, for real, I think these shoes are so great. The detail, they're packed with details. They are a very Travis Scott shoe, in my opinion, just because they're so rugged and rage ready, basically. Which, you know, is his whole shtick, right? That he's a rager, he kind of parties hard, and his concerts and festivals are pretty crazy. Of course, the last one got a little bit too crazy, which has left a bit of a sour taste in many people's mouths. But I have to say, this shoe is amazing in hand. The details on it, the materials, it's got like some corduroy detailing, and the Gray Haze colorway is just so fresh, so summery. It's the exact opposite of the one that you have, right? Yours is darker, and I feel like it's definitely an year-round shoe, but it'll look amazing in these like fall and winter fits when you have like more earthy tones going on. And the Gray Haze, which is almost more of like a baby blue colorway, is amazing for the summer. So I'm super happy to get that pair.
That pair actually does remind me quite a bit of the Air Yeezy 2, that pure platinum colorway.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of got a similar shape and of course, like with the strap in the front. So I know you hate the reverse swoosh, so that's probably why you like this pair so much, because it doesn't even have a swoosh.
It does. On the inside, it's got a reverse swoosh.
Oh, it's got a... Okay, but it's on the inside, so it's not, like, so visible or in your face, right? Okay.
Exactly.
Nice, nice. Okay, cool. So, that was first pickup. Second pickup, another pair of the Protection Pack. I got the Mirage Gray colorway, which I think is probably the best colorway of the Protection Pack to drop this year. Plenty of colorways that have already dropped and some more on the way, but I do like this colorway a lot. It was based on the 1300 Japan colorway, that gray with the hits of blue mixed in there. Super, super nice pair of shoes. And I still think Protection Pack, so far undefeated over the last 2 years, I still don't think there's been another pair of sneakers that have surpassed the Protection Pack for me in the last 2 years. Still the best pairs of sneakers to drop. And this Mirage Gray pair, no different. Really like these. And finally, I also managed to cop myself the Stussy Air Force One mids in that fossil colorway, which for me was still the best colorway out of the trio of colorways that dropped. There was a panda and a black colorway as well. And these actually aren't even reselling for a whole lot. You can get them for pretty much retail right now on StockX. And I think that's unjustified because they're very similar looking to the low top version, which currently is going for anywhere between $400 to $500 on StockX. So meanwhile, these pairs right here, you can get them for around $150. they look pretty much the same on feet, especially if you wear like, you know, some like wider fitting pants that kind of just go on top of the shoe. It kind of just looks like an Air Force One low if you do it that way. And I like these, man. They're not actually as premium as the low top version, because the inner lining of the shoe doesn't have that really soft premium leather that the low top version has. It's just got like a hemp material inside the shoe as well, so it's not as premium feeling. But I think if you're in the market for a pair of Stussy's, I'd rather right now go with the Air Force One mids rather than spending $500 on the lows.
Damn, you're pushing the mid agenda on everyone.
Sure.
No, but they're really nice. I like them too. I have the low tops in the same colorway and love that pair. I mean, it's just so fresh, different. The material, the Stussy accents and logos just kind of elevate that shoe beyond, you know, regular general release Air Force Ones. So very nice pickup there. I have two more this week as well. Big week for me. As you know, I don't really cop that much that often, but it seemed like a lot of stuff that I really, really liked dropped at the same time, and I was lucky enough to win raffles for them. So alongside the Travis Scott Nike Air Trainer 1 Gray Haze, I got a pair of the Yeezy Foam Runner Sulfurs, my first Yeezy Foam Runners, and to be honest, I wasn't sure what to expect. I'd seen a lot of, you know, foam runners in the wild before on other people. I've seen them on Instagram, I've seen them, you know, online, but I've never actually held one in hand. I've never tried one on. And I must say that I was a little bit surprised at how sturdy these shoes are. I thought they were going to be, you know, like the Morel Hydromox or the Crocs, that they were going to be a little bit more flimsy because they're that foam material. But I find that they're almost more like a sneaker structurally than like a sandal, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have a few pairs. I know that you wear them with socks most of the time, right?
I have to, because I don't like that look, man, when you can like kind of see my toes, you know. I'm not. And also, besides that, besides the visuals, when you wear them without socks, the back of the shoe really rubs up against your ankle and it hurts quite a bit. And a lot of people have complained about this, so that's also part of the reason why I always wear them with socks.
Okay, that's good to know, because I'm more of a no socks kind of guy. So I'm going to try them without socks, especially when I'm in Italy in June. Going to take them to the beach. But I might pack a couple of crew socks just in case I get blisters. That's a good point. Then my final pickup of the week, and probably my favorite of the three, I have to say, is the Hidden Salomon XT4, which arrived on Monday. So when you're listening to this 2 days ago, and I love the pop of green, the brown, the white upper, the little hidden logo. I know some people are going to be like, you know, why are brands collaborating with aggregators? But that's basically what Jounce started as. And I think everything needs to evolve, right? In the beginning, there were collaborations with athletes. That's how you got the Air Jordan 1. Then you had musicians like Kanye or celebrities. And now, if something's hot and resonates with people and people subscribe to that and it has a lot of followers and has a lot of influence, then I don't see why an aggregator or mood board can't collaborate with a brand, especially when the product is so on point like this one. I really, really like these.
Yeah, those are hella nice too. And I also had the opportunity to cop them. I kind of, you know, swerved because I saw the retail price and then looked at the shipping costs and then also assumed that there would be customs on top since it's coming from the States. And then I'm like, I don't know if I want to spend all that. So I kind of decided not to, but I do have my regrets because this whole week, of course, Hidden New York has been doing nothing but reposting everyone who got that shoe on their feed. And I'm like, damn it, man. I really should have got that pair. And also, like, I'm looking at what they're going for on the resale market, and I'm like, damn, even if I didn't want them, I could have just resold them too. They're going for quite a lot. So, yeah, definitely have some regrets, but I'm glad you got a pair because I know how much you love that shoe. So, yeah, man. Nice, man. Big week for you.
Definitely. I mean, big week for both of us. And the Solomon has got me hyped for more Solomon colorways. I had a few years ago. I wore them for a little bit, and then I kind of got rid of them because I had them in the wrong size, and they were a little bit too tight for me. So I sized up on this one, actually, and it fits perfectly. And I already showed you when you were here watching F1 what colorways I want to get. But I'm like, I've been on StockX all week just like looking at like older colorways and being like, okay, I'll put in a cheeky bid here. And if somebody accepts it, because long gone are the days where you could get Solomon XT6s and XT4s on discount. I think in like 2017, 2018, I got like 3 pairs on 50% off. And I don't think that happens anymore.
Yeah, last year I got that safari and khaki colorway, which is like brown at the top, and it's got like this berry or like pink outsole. And I managed to get that 30% off. I paid like $120, I think, for it. And like, I'm so glad I did that, because I'm looking. I looked at that shoe on StockX right now. It's going for around $500, which is nuts. So. Yeah, man, it's pretty difficult to get Salomons nowadays. So, yeah, man, Salomon definitely the hype has been building for that brand this year. So let's move on to the well, we'll first start off with the quick news, quick recap on the whole Zadeh Kicks scenario. So Zadeh Kicks, I'll be honest, I never heard of the guy before this past weekend, mainly because he operates pretty much just in North America. No one in Europe really knows about this guy, so I never heard of him. But after looking into him and what his whole business was, it's actually pretty crazy. And I'm actually like blown away that so many people were like trusting this guy. Essentially, what this guy, his service was that basically months before a sneaker releases, so like 8, 9, 10 months before a sneaker releases, he will offer people the chance to pre-order them. And pre-order them for a pretty discounted price, sometimes, actually a lot of times, even below the retail price of that shoe. For example, he was offering people the chance to buy the Cool Grey 11s for $150, right? And I know that sounds crazy, because first of all, how is that possible? Second of all, why would you even do that? Because like, what's in it for you to be selling sneakers at a discount, right? So everyone kind of just assumed that this guy had like some backdoor connections, or he was getting it somehow. Turns out that at least for the first year or so, he was actually shipping out these shoes to people, and people were able to sell these shoes on StockX, and they were being, you know, they were being authenticated. So a lot of people started to trust the guy. So then these people started, you know, to order more and more and place like even way bigger pre-orders. I've seen people on Reddit saying some people had like $750,000 worth of pre-orders with the guy because they've had like good experiences with him in the past. And basically what happened is the guy just was a fraud. He was essentially running some kind of sneaker Ponzi scheme, and he never actually ended up shipping a lot of the shoes that he had pre-orders for. And now he's being investigated by the FBI. So it's gone pretty high up in the criminal investigation chain. And of course, like the FBI has, by the way, put out some kind of hotline or some kind of email address where anyone who was affected by this guy, they can write in, they can, you know, show their receipts, see how much they've spent, and hopefully get some of their money back. But this is just a crazy story, mainly because from what I read too, you would basically pre-order these sneakers 10 months in advance, and Zadeh would only send you the sneakers like 2 to 3 months after it actually got released. Meaning that your money is with this guy for pretty much a year until you actually get the kicks, right? Mm-hmm. So the whole point of why you would do this is because, first of all, you really must trust the guy. And second of all, you're hoping that the sneakers will sell for a lot more once they do release, right? I just don't get it. Like, how could people fall for something like this? Because, first of all, this is rule number one in life for me. If it's too good to be true, it probably isn't, or it probably is. Is that how the saying goes? Who would be in their right mind selling sneakers for under retail? And also 10 months in advance. Like, it's just like mind blowing to me that people thought this was real. Like, how could something like this possibly be real?
I agree. Like you said, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And at the very least, like, sell it for retail, you know? Why would he be taking a loss unless you assume that he's stealing this kind of stuff, right? Or getting it for free or for 50 or, like, using a Nike employee discount. But I doubt that he could, even if he had an employee discount and was able to get shoes early, I highly doubt that Nike would let him use an employee discount on however many shoes, like 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 shoes, because we're talking about a lot of money here, right? Especially if one person, like you said, had 750K. I saw some other people on Twitter saying that they had like 10K, 5K, 25K, which is ridiculous amounts of money to just give someone for an entire year.
Right. A whole year. Yeah. Just based off of trust, man. So that's insane, man. That's crazy. So now he's most likely going to face a lot of criminal prosecution, which he obviously deserves. So we'll follow that story, see what happens there. And I guess we'll use this to segue into what our main topic of this episode is, which is pretty much how to avoid getting scammed when buying sneakers. So maybe you want to kick it off?
Yeah, so we, like Josh said, we try to break this into two different sections. The first is how to be safe when buying and selling sneakers in person, which I'll walk you through, and then how to be safe when buying and selling online, which Josh will walk you guys through. I know that we both know that there's a lot that can be said on this topic. We are already pretty far into this episode, so we're going to try and sum up what we feel to be the most important points and things that we've done personally in the past. Of course, we could, you know, this episode could be 3, 4, 5 hours long. We could talk forever about this topic, but we kind of just want to get the basics down. So I'll kick us off with buying and selling sneakers in person. And I'm going to start with, before you even meet up, make sure that the person actually has the sneakers that you want to buy from this person, right? Make sure that you are going to meet a person who has what you want to buy and not something else, something similar, a fake, nothing at all. And a good way to do this is to ask for tag pictures and detail pictures. When I was still on Facebook, a lot of times people would tag pictures with their name, their username, and the date, and send them to you to verify that, yes, in fact, they have these shoes, they have them right now, and this is what you will be buying. Because you want to know exactly what you're buying before you make the effort to meet someone somewhere, right? And there's nothing worse than showing up and the person has something different or the shoe is not as described. That's why I always ask for detailed pictures. So that's when you're buying. When you're selling, before you even meet up, you should make sure that this person is serious and isn't gonna either ghost you or try and do something else, because you can kind of get a feel for it, right? When you're chatting with someone online, whether it's through Grailed, through Instagram, however you have contact with this person, text message, you can kind of get a feel for, are they trustworthy? Do they want this product that you are offering? Are they gonna be on time? If you know, they ghost you or they don't reply for hours on end and you're chasing them and you're saying, hey, let's meet here, and they're being wishy-washy, I would say cut your losses, find someone else, because I've been there, I've done that. I've gone to meetups and then had to wait like an hour and a half. And it's that like sunk cost fallacy, right? Where you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. You're like, damn, I've been waiting for 20 minutes. Okay, but if he comes now, then it's worth waiting an extra 5 minutes. And then you wait another 20 minutes and you're like, damn, okay, but he has to be here in 5 minutes. And then they just don't show up, or they show up an hour and a half late and they string you along on text. They're like, yeah, sorry, I got into the wrong subway, or I got into the wrong bus, or my bus broke down, whatever. So both sides, make sure that the person you are meeting is serious and either has what you are trying to buy or has the money to buy what you're trying to sell. Then, if you want to go the extra mile, I would say, and don't take this the wrong way, but a little stalking never hurt anyone. So if you're on Facebook, on Instagram, you can check their account, check, you know, who they follow, who follows them. Maybe you have some mutual followers. Check for references, especially on Facebook groups. That's how I used to do it. You could post on a group, a buying selling group, and say, hey, who has done business with me in the past? Please comment and tell me your experiences so that the other person can see that they are a legit person to deal with. You have to make sure that this seller or the buyer is reputable. And most experienced buyers and sellers have a lot of references that they can pull up when you ask. They usually have a post already that they've pinned or that they have the link to that they can send you. If anything feels off, I would always say better safe than sorry, pull the plug. Then once you are sure you want to meet this person, discuss all the details before you meet up. Make sure that there's no room for discussion or negotiation when you arrive, because there's nothing worse than arriving and then someone is like, oh, you know what, like, let's, you know, you agreed to $250, and then you arrive and the guy's like, but I only brought 220, and you're like, okay, but we said 250. And honestly, I've walked away from deals where the person was trying to short me €5 because I was like, you know what, I can go sell this to someone else. I don't care about my wasted time. I mean, I do, but I don't really in that sense. I'll go home if you're not going to get me that extra €5 that we negotiated and agreed on in advance. So I would say discuss all the details before you meet up. It's better to be honest up front, especially when you're selling something. If there's a stain somewhere, a glue stain, maybe you've scuffed the midsole and that wasn't clearly visible in the pictures. It's always better to be upfront and honest about something than hope someone doesn't see something when you meet up, because then if they see it and they think you're not trustworthy, they might walk away and then you lose all the money, right? So play with an open deck, play with an open card or an open hand better, and make sure that they know that you mean business and that you want this transaction to go smoothly. Yeah, and just be upfront and communicate everything. Once you've got all of that settled, you can meet up. I would always meet up at a public place. Maybe I'm a little bit too careful here, but I never tell someone my own address and I never have someone come here to pick up shoes. I always take my bike, I take the public transport a few stops and I say, hey, let's meet at this junction or let's meet in this city center near me or in the middle, depending on where they live in your city, right? Because you don't want, you know, obviously if you trust the person, all good. If you've done business with them in the past, then maybe you can give them your address or you can go to them. But if you're unsure about the person or you're meeting them for the first time, you don't really want them to know where you live. I mean, in general, you don't really want strangers to know where you live, right? When I used to live in New York, I used to meet people at a bank because they had cameras. And then also you could, if you're buying something at least, you could rock up there without any money and then take the money out at the ATM after you've checked your shoes, right? Because depending on what you're buying, sometimes it's a lot of money, right? And you don't want to be walking around with all that cash. Maybe you can pay PayPal, right? But back in those days, a lot of people would want cash deals. So I would always meet at a bank, make sure that there were people there. It was not in the middle of the night, but during the day, and that you were somewhere you feel safe, but that isn't too busy because you're obviously there to make a deal. You have to talk to this person. You have to check the shoes. You have to count the money, exchange the goods. And if it's too busy, you can't really focus on the changeover, the handover. And you don't want to have to worry about, you know, someone grabbing the shoes or whatever. So it needs to be somewhere where you can kind of stand off to the side for a while and just check the shoes, make sure everything's as advertised, check the money, and then do the switch. I would say, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really want to stress that third point, which is to meet at a public place. I know someone personally who was affected by this. He was given a location on WhatsApp to meet the sellers. He was supposed to sell 3 pairs of shoes to this seller. He goes to the dropped location on the WhatsApp drop location. Turns out it was at the back of some pretty weird like parking lot or something like that. And basically he got jumped by 3 guys. And they took all the shoes out of his car and obviously left him with nothing. So it's very important to meet at a public place. Try to reduce any kind of potential, you know, robbery happening. So make sure if you're gonna try selling or buying sneakers in person, it's got to be at a public place.
Definitely. When I was in New York as well, I saw a lot of people would meet at police stations or just outside police stations because there's probably no safer spot to do the deal, right? Police is coming and going. They have cameras everywhere. So you can meet on the street there and feel relatively safe. I would say another layer of safety that you can take or another measure that you can take to make yourself feel a little bit safer is to take a friend with you if you feel that that helps. I wouldn't overdo it and show up with the whole squad. Otherwise, maybe you'll scare off the other guy, right? Like when I come to a meetup and then I see five dudes standing there, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just going to pretend like I'm not me and walk past them, right? But if it's just one, two, maybe three guys and you have one or two friends with you, then everyone feels at ease. And I think it's important to remember that the other guy is probably doing the same thing as you and worried about the same things as you, because, you know, as Josh said, there are cases where people are scammed or mugged, and we see it in the news all the time. But in my experience, 99% of the time, it's all good, and the person on the other side is just as worried as you are and just as nervous as you are. So just be friendly, meet up, you know, put their minds at ease and kind of chit-chat a little bit, talk about the shoes. You don't have to be their best friend or anything, but just, you know, make them feel at ease, because then that helps you feel at ease as well. If you're at a sneaker convention, I would also recommend that you can get the sneakers legit checked by whatever platform is sponsoring the con. I know we've seen those reels on Instagram of the eBay legit check person smelling the shoes and like legit checking a shoe in 20 seconds. Whether that person is actually legit checking it or not, it does look like they know what they're doing. And I would say if there is a chance of getting the shoes legit checked, maybe there's a consignment store nearby, or you know, if you're in New York, you can meet at Flight Club or something and get them legit checked there. Sometimes these stores will do that for you. Most of the time they won't, because they want you to sell in their stores. But I mean, it's always an option. You can always ask people. You can bring a friend who is maybe knowledgeable about this sort of stuff. But I would say do everything possible to make yourself feel safe. But remember that on the other side, there's also someone who's probably nervous, probably hoping that they're not going to get scammed too. And at the end of the day, everyone wants it to go smoothly. Just make sure that you do your homework beforehand and be as safe as possible, because we do not want any of you or anyone getting mugged just for a pair of sneakers. That shit happens way too much. And it's a shitty part of the culture, I would say.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about specifically buying and selling sneakers online. I'll first talk about selling sneakers online. So nowadays, most of us do sell our sneakers online using, of course, third-party marketplaces such as StockX, or in Europe, we got Restocks, Collect, a bunch of others. And my first bit of advice is that it is, in my opinion, always better to use one of these third parties instead of trying to sell the sneakers yourself. I know that, of course, you can make less money this way, because these companies obviously take a big fee, in some cases 10% or more, but it reduces a lot of liability. And pretty much most of the scams that happen when selling sneakers online, you won't experience any of that when you try selling with these third-party affiliate websites. I'll get into some of those scams a little bit later, but my personal preference, and I can speak as someone who sells sneakers here in Europe, I personally prefer to sell a lot of my stuff using Restocks. Restocks is a pretty popular reselling platform here in Europe, and I personally use them because they have by far the best prices there compared to all the other marketplaces, followed by Collect. A relatively new one is called Alias. I use that one quite a lot as well. And I would put StockX as at the very bottom for when it comes to my preferred websites to actually resell sneakers online. That is because I've had a lot of bad experiences with them, where they have said that a sneaker I've sold was either fake or not legit. I do not do that. I do not deal with fake sneakers at all. Everything I've ever sold online has always been authentic. So StockX, clearly I'm not very confident in their authenticators personally, based on experience. So and also they have by far like the worst prices out of all the other platforms that I mentioned. So first rule of thumb, overall, it's better to use a third party just because it reduces your chances of getting scammed. And some of those scams that I'm going to mention right now, These mainly happen when you try to sell a sneaker yourself using, I don't know, eBay or using a local classifieds website. So first of all is the other guy will say, I did not receive the shoe. So that's one of the most common scams. The other person saying, hey, I never received the shoe. And how you avoid this scam is make sure you always do the transaction through PayPal and only ever ship it to the buyer's PayPal address, no matter what. No matter what excuse he has, like he might say, hey, I used to live there with my girlfriend and now we're no longer together, so I'm at a different address, so can you send it to this new address? You tell him, I'm sorry, I'm sending it to your girl and I'm going to invite her to dinner afterwards. So that's just the way it is. Don't only send it to PayPal addresses, because that way you're covered and that way you can easily show your tracking number to PayPal in case the case does get escalated. So that's rule number one. Some other scams that I've seen online is people claiming that they got sent fakes. So this is also why I prefer using third parties, because the third party, they will, you know, authenticate it. And once they authenticate it, all your liability is over. The rest of it is they're going to handle all of it, sending it to the seller and all of that. And they are assuring authenticity. So when you get this excuse from the buyer that, hey, you sent me a fake, I want a refund. Once again, make sure that you keep all your receipts, everything that you've bought, whether it be from a retail store, whether it be from online, make sure you keep your receipts. So if this case does get escalated, once again, you always have the proof to show. And another common scam, and this is one that I've experienced myself, is you sell a shoe and the buyer saying, hey, I'm going to use PayPal. And then he sends you basically a PayPal screenshot. So essentially, like, you'll get an email, he'll really stress this email. He'll say, hey, did you get that PayPal email? Did you get that email from PayPal that you got the money? And you'll basically get an email which looks pretty much like it came from PayPal. It's got the same color on the header. It has the PayPal logo, and it'll be an email saying you have received whatever amount of money from whoever. This is a fake email, so this is a fake screenshot. Always, always actually log into your PayPal account and check whether you actually received the money in your account, because this is just something this guy is doing on Photoshop. He's just changing the name, changing the amount, sending the screenshot. So it's completely a scam. So when you're dealing with these PayPal transactions, actually log into your account. Make sure you actually received the money. Don't believe emails, don't believe screenshots. The guy might say, oh yeah, don't worry, I sent it. Haven't you gotten the email? I sent it. No, don't believe him until you actually see the money in your account. And so those are basically my tips when selling sneakers online.
Wait, now, real quick. Yeah. So on that PayPal, I know PayPal has its issues and sometimes people have horror stories where PayPal freezes their money and stuff, but I think it's worth stressing that PayPal or any other PayPal-like product offers you so much security that, you know, you wouldn't have if you just dealt with a person directly and transferred money from bank to bank, right? And I've done this in the past where I've sold something to someone, they've paid via PayPal, and then they've sent me another address on like eBay or Craigslist or whatever, and they're like, hey, send it here. And I'm like, nah, I'm gonna send it to your PayPal address. And they're like, no, I'm like, you know, they'll pull the girlfriend trick, or they'll say, oh, that's my mom's PayPal, I just use my mom's PayPal, but I live here. And I've insisted that I've sent the money back and said, okay, then change the address on PayPal, and then I'll send it to that address, because I'm only ever sending. And I've gone back and forth with people, and people have been annoyed about it. And some people have, like, you know, not left bad reviews, but been like, why do you have to be so difficult? I'm not going to scam you. And again, 90% of the time, they're not. But so much better to be safe than sorry, because if you don't send it to that PayPal address, PayPal will not cover you, and then you're screwed.
Yeah, definitely. And in case you do feel like you got scammed on a PayPal transaction, just keep in mind that PayPal is pretty strict about their 180-day policy. So make sure you don't delay actually filing that case. Make sure you file that case as soon as possible, because once the 180 days pass, PayPal is just basically going to auto-reject whatever claim you have. So yeah, just something to keep in mind.
That's a good point, because a lot of times as well, these people will send you a shoe, right? Or send you something and then be like, oh, it's been delayed, or oh, it couldn't get delivered, it got sent back to me, and they'll try and delay it for as long as possible. And that's another scam where they'll try and delay it over the 180 days, which, I mean, that's a long time. That's 3 months, right? No. That's 6 months.
That's 6 months. But that's exactly what's happening with that Zade kick scenario. Basically, people weren't even covered by PayPal anymore because it's been like a year since they sent over the money. So, yeah. So just something to watch out for. So and then as far as buying sneakers online. So here's my personal thing that I do that based on experience. So I don't buy very expensive sneakers from sneaker reselling platforms like StockX or whatever. Doesn't matter what the platform is. I personally have like a rule of thumb, like if it's more than 500 euros or so, it could be even something even less than that. I tend not to buy them from these reselling platforms just because I'm not 100% trusting of their authenticity techniques. I know that the people who authenticate at these places, they're authenticating hundreds of sneakers per day. They're not spending too much time on each pair. And also, it's just basic like economics. Like the more expensive that a sneaker sells for in the resale market, the higher the chance that there's going to be people making fakes of that sneaker. Especially, and I'm going to stress these two brands specifically, Nike's, like Nike Dunks, and also Jordan 1s, and also Yeezys. So these sneakers, especially if you're going to buy like an expensive pair of these, I would not personally buy them from sneaker reselling platforms. There's a pretty decent chance, I think, that you would get a fake. I think you're pretty safe if you're going with like a New Balance pair, because there's just not too many fakes of New Balance on the market. I know nowadays there's been some like 550 fakes, but it's quite difficult to fake like the 990s and 992s and all that. There's just not too many of those floating around. So you're okay when it comes to New Balance, but definitely Nikes and Yeezys, I wouldn't personally buy them online. So how do you get them, right? So let's say you want to buy some of these expensive shoes. What's the best place to get them? It's really about buying them from trusted sellers. So here are some of the places you can do that. Every city usually has like a sneaker group on Facebook, like a sneaker community on Facebook, of like just local sneakerheads in that city, and they'll be buying and selling from their own collection. And the good thing about using these Facebook sneaker groups is that all of these sellers are going to be basically their reputation is going to be built by people within the community. People within that community can vouch for them. So you've had already so many people who had experience dealing with these sellers. So I like to go the Facebook group route. And then also, if you're buying something off of eBay also, of course, has like the rating system. So each of the sellers will have plenty of reviews you can check, so you can make sure that these guys are legit. Also, something I do, if I'm not buying from like a platform like eBay, I always ask for the receipt. So I want to see a receipt of where he got the sneaker from. So I know it's original. I know it's not fake. So I'll make sure you always ask for receipts. And nowadays, also a lot of buying of sneakers happens on Instagram. And there's a ton of very trusted Instagram sellers pretty much in every city. You can actually just search up some of the hashtags on Instagram, and you'll probably be able to find one in your city. And these guys too, all of them will have plenty of reviews. You can click on their story highlights and you'll see other people who've personally bought from them. So they've also built up quite a bit of trust within the sneaker community. So what's in common between all these different ways of purchasing that I mentioned, so Facebook groups, eBay sellers, Instagram sellers, is that all of these people will be vouched for by other people in the community who've had experience buying from them. And this is something I trust personally a lot more than StockX or any of these reselling platforms because I have no idea what their verification methods are, especially considering they've failed to authenticate some of my authentic sneakers that I've sent them, and I know people are sending fakes to them that are getting authenticated. So just a bit of advice for me when it comes to buying sneakers online.
Yeah, I think all of those points are very, very valid, and I think there's no real place to avoid buying or selling sneakers. It's just a matter of doing your homework and making sure you feel comfortable and you know what you're getting yourself into. Of course, there are websites that seem suspicious, and if you're not sure that it's a real store, the website seems cheap, then don't go for it. I think my point here is, when in doubt, pull the cord, basically. Mm. Don't go ahead with it. Always go for reputable retailers, reputable groups, reputable sellers too, that have their own, that they have their receipts, they have reviews. But that doesn't mean that you have to buy and sell like everyone else. It's just a matter of doing your homework, making sure you feel comfortable and have all of your boxes ticked, whether you're paying with PayPal, meeting someone in a public space, buying from reputable sellers on Instagram or Facebook, using verified reselling platforms. I think, yeah, what it comes down to is just making sure that you know what you're doing and are not getting scammed, basically.
And just simple rule of thumb to remember, and we said this at the start of the episode, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. So if you see anyone selling a sneaker for a lot cheaper than what they sell for on the resale market, even if it's like, you know, $100 cheaper, 100% of the time that is either a fake or it is pretty much a scam or something like that, because there's no way, especially nowadays when sneaker reselling prices are so visible, anyone can within a second find out what a sneaker resells for. If you see someone selling it for a lot cheaper and it doesn't even have to be a fishy website or anything. It might be a nice looking website. It might be a nice looking Instagram. But if the prices are way cheaper than what they're going for on the resale market, 100% of the time, that is going to be a scam. No, it's not your lucky day. You didn't just happen to discover some guy who doesn't know what the real price is. Trust me, he knows what the real price is. He's hoping that you fall for it. So that's just a simple rule of thumb to remember.
Words to live by. That wraps up that part of the episode. Let's jump into upcoming drops. There are quite a lot of them. It's very Nike heavy. I'll just run through a couple and then we can talk about maybe some of the top ones. So on June 3rd, we've got the Green Bean Nike Air Jordan 5 dropping. On June 3rd as well, we've got the Nike Air Jordan 2 A Ma Maniere, which is probably one of the bigger drops this week, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I think before that, one that you missed, which is on June the 1st, which is today if you're listening to this episode, the entire Nike SB Fruit Pack will be dropping. There's four shoes there: green apple, blue something, raspberry, and a pineapple Dunk High. That's all going to be dropping on June 1st as well. Just keep that in mind.
Those are nice and colorful. Then you've got the University Red Nike Air Jordan 6 on June 4th, the Foam Runner Onyx on June 8th, then Cassina collaborated with Nike on a pair of Air Max 1s that are dropping on June 8th. Those are super nice. I don't know if you've seen them yet, Josh, but they are pretty.
Yeah, they're very, very nice. I'm looking at them right now.
Yeah. And then June 10th, we've got Tom Sachs and Nike, the General Purpose shoe, aka the Boring shoe, dropping June 10th. Same day, Eames and Reebok's Classic Leather Pack is dropping. And then we got a sneak peek at Ronnie Feig and Kith's New Balance 990 pack, which consists of the 990 V1, V2, V3, and V4, all in four different colorways. Some really nice colorways there too. I think New Balance is going to have an even bigger year this year, especially with Aimé Ondour, Teddy Santis, some of the collaborations we've already seen, and now these, super dope.
Teddy Santis... Okay, like, I'm going to say this right now, man. This might be very against what the sneaker community is saying, but personally, at least the drops so far, I'm kind of disappointed in the whole Teddy Santis and New Balance partnership. There was that marble head, those three drops, which I thought were okay, like the 990 V3. I wasn't really feeling any of those white ones. There was a V2 and a V3. And now he's got like some 991s dropping, which are retailing for an absurd price, especially here in Europe. They're going for 300 euros in some countries. I think it depends on the country. In Germany, it was 295. I'm not paying that. I'm sorry. I'm not paying 295 for a pair of 991s. So
that's
a little
ridiculous.
A little bit disappointed, I would say, overall. I haven't been wowed by anything that Teddy Santis has done so far since he's gotten this partnership with New Balance, but that's just me. Out of all these sneakers dropping, the one that, okay, and I've always had a beef with this person specifically, Tom Sachs, okay? I don't get
Damn,
the hype.
You heard it here first. JD and Tom Sachs are beefing
right now. I don't get the hype with any of these Tom Sachs sneakers, man. All of his previous ones, like what were they called, man? The Mars Yard, right? The Mars Yard, aka the Payless Special, man. Like that sneaker looks like it belongs in the discount racks of every single Payless, man. Like those are just the most basic looking shoes. Like what is so special about those shoes? I have no idea. And now he's done something that I didn't even think was possible. He's made an even more Payless looking shoe, man. Whatever this is, this general purpose shoe, I know that's the whole point. It's supposed to be boring, but I'm sorry, man. You're not fooling me. This sneaker sucks, man. Like there's no other way to say it. This general purpose shoe absolutely sucks. Like I'm giving it like a 1 out of 10, man. I don't know. That's just me, man. It's not doing it. It's not doing it for me.
I would say that the general purpose shoe is not my favorite for sure. I get the concept behind it, and I like that Tom Sachs is doing something different to everyone else. You know, everyone's trying to make these pretty shoes that are hyped for whatever reason, or bringing back classics. And Tom Sachs is just like, nah, I'm going to make a shoe that is just 100% utility, 100% general purpose, which I respect. Am I going to wear the shoe? Most likely not, although I do think it's better than you're saying, or at least in my opinion, I think it's not as bad as some people have said. His Mars Yard shoes, apart from the overshoe, which was this crazy, it was just a Mars Yard shoe with this blue plastic bag around it, basically. The rest of the shoes were actually pretty nice, and they didn't change from version to version. So for me, they're all just kind of like one thing. I don't get the crazy hype behind them. It was probably because they were super, super limited. But I mean, they have a Nike Free Sole, which is super classic, super comfortable. If I could, I would own them probably. But yeah, I think that's probably going to be the biggest drop of the next 2 weeks, unless the Kith New Balance. There's no release date for those yet, but I assume that since they've been teased, they will release in the next 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah,
I think those or the Tom Sachs will probably be the biggest release of the next 2 weeks.
The Ama Manier twos, just because they look almost identical to the ones in terms of colorway and materials, they should have maybe done something a little better, like at least a little different there, because it, to me, it's just kind of like a copy paste of the ones. I am very intrigued, however, by all these rumors about a pair of Jordan 4s dropping the Ama Maniers. I don't know if you saw some images there,
yep,
but those look heat. So whenever those drop, I'm going to save my Ama Manier budget for those fours. I probably will be passing on these twos, but I mean overall pretty strong week, I would say. I mean, we got these Ama Maniers, we got some foam runners, okay, Tom Sachs, I guess whoever is into Tom Sachs, and of course we got some New Balance as well. So yeah, I mean, strong couple of weeks.
Definitely, I think there's something out there for everyone, which is cool. I think after my haul these last couple weeks, I'm gonna stay low. There's some stuff in there that I would buy normally if I hadn't already bought three pairs of shoes, but I think I'm good for now.
And I actually already, like, if there was only pretty much one shoe I was interested in over the next 2 weeks, and I actually already managed to win a raffle for it, that is from that fruit pack, the pineapple Dunk Highs, the yellow Ooh. One. Dude, those are so nice, mainly because if you know me, you know I am obsessed with pineapples. Like, I fucking love pineapples, man. I eat literally one pineapple, a whole pineapple, pretty much every 2 days. I'll buy a pineapple, chop it up, eat it up. Like, I love pineapples. So
that's pretty solid, man. I just find it a shame that it's a high. I would have preferred it as a low.
Yeah, same. But yeah, I did win a raffle for those at Civilist. I'm gonna pick them up tomorrow. So yeah, excited for that.
Very nice. Congrats.
Yeah, and that's about it, man. Solid episode. What was the time on this one? We're just right at an hour. So pretty much our usual. So I think we did a pretty good job. And I hope you guys got some good tips there. And hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Shout out to everyone listening in on the pod every time we drop. You guys are amazing, man. What can we say? Shout out to all of you. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Peace. Yo, see you in 2 weeks. Thanks. And please, please, please leave your feedback. I know that last time's episode ruffled a couple feathers, I think it's fair to say, but it was nice talking to you about it, and we appreciate it, whether it's constructive, positive. Leave some 5-star reviews if you wish. We appreciate the support. Thank you, guys, and see you in 2 weeks. Peace.